Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. This is a joint work with this group of people out here that come from Texas A&M AgriLife, both research and extension, and a wonderful cooperation out here with the engineering group of Texas A&M Corpus Christi, Texas A&M University at Corpus Christi. That partnership has yielded great result for us. Basically, what we're trying to put together is a system that uses UAV platforms, you know, to tackle this interaction, environment times genotype interaction, mainly with the aim of helping our researchers doing a better job discriminating or studying their experimental treatments. Same technology that is developed out here for phenotyping and research application is slowly spilling out into cropping systems, you know. So in this next couple of years, you know, we're going to be reusing, repurposing some of these tools into best management practices. For the experiment that the demonstration that I'm going to talk to you today, I'd like to use this. Decided to use this study out here. It's a 2016 cultivar studies, 30 genotypes, irrigated, not irrigated, replicated four times. And this is some of the data that we attempted to collect throughout the season. Our strategy was to set up the plow boundaries. Every two rows is a variety. And then we divided each row into 10 grids of 1 meter square. So 20 points for every row collected. And then just a standard algorithm for collecting a canopy height. We're using RGB, basically the surface elevations, you know, this is the ground, and this is the crop at the time of the flight, and the difference is plant height. And then just pixel discrimination out here, you know, whatever is green is part of the canopy and everything else is background. And then develop these maps, and the ratio of white to black is our canopy cover. And then a combination of these two becomes our canopy volume. We flew several times over the season, many times over the season, and this was this is an unusual number because we were kind of designing platforms, testing platforms, developing flying protocols and so on. So the number of flights is large, but it made also, you know, a great data set to study. Overall, we accumulated in this experiment approximately half a terabyte, Jinha, of data. You know, and every dot out here, every time that we fly out here, we put a dot in our growth curve over the season. We experimented with several ways of fitting the data, and there's a four-parameters logistic, or Richard's four-parameters logistic was the best one, mainly because it gave us an asymmetric first derivative. You know, the logistic three parameters gives you asymmetric first derivative. So, and this is the model that I use for this study. We got a tool that takes all of the points, and then you choose the model, and as I say, I use the four parameters logistic, and fits this model to the data. Once we have that model fitted, get the first derivative of that model, and it becomes a growth rate curve, you know, with several important points identify several phenological and growth points. All of this is done automatically for every meter square of the field throughout the season. Beautiful tool that Dr. Jinha Zhang developed. And just for your reference, that point there refers to that inflation point. Often refers to this inflation point out here. The midpoint is related to a number out here in the linear phase of development, and then this number out here is related to this other inflation point somewhere around there. Okay, remember those as references along the growing season. All right, Once we have those, the models, we set aside the actual points, and then the computer goes on and select points like the maximum growth, maximum rate, when it happens, relative growth rate early and late, the early points that I talked to you earlier related to phenology, the duration of those rates. You see here why it's important to have an asymmetrical, because that's how the plant grows. The duration of the whole thing. And then with our NDVI data with our vegetative indexes, we do the same thing, feed a model, and then collect slopes and points of interest that might be related to growth. For a total of about 70 points, 70 terms. Now the question is, we hear, we collect a lot of data for with these UAVs. You know, what is the use of it? Well, I'm going to attempt to show you, some of the uses of this data and the value of it, potential value to plant breeders and to researchers. For this growth analysis that I'm going to show you, I mainly use only this part of the data. Didn't use this part out here, but in other words, plant height, a canopy cover, and plant volume. And I develop an array of all of those points, plant height, canopy cover, plant volume, and then I group the variety. This is the yield out here. I don't expect you to read, but I just the setup of the array. And then I divide the 113 entries into groups. The best yielders, second best yielders, middle, and then the bottom yielders. Four groups, A, B, C, D. And then this table out here is the average yield for the groups and then the average of the components of the yield. And then in this line out here are the correlation coefficients of each component, each of the 13 components, with yield, okay? And just for your information, some of the red ones are the ones significant, which are here. Yeah, about 14 of the 36 parameters that I look, were very, very significantly correlated with yields. And that will be less than 0.5 probability level. And then there were some that were significant at the 10% probability level, but I did not consider those. Taking a look at what were the characteristics of the top 20% of the varieties? What were the successful varieties? What did they have that was successful? All of these variables that I'm showing here are the significant variables. And the way that to read this is that this is yield, and I got 5 points, for the five groups, the average of the five groups, and then this is the response of the parameter. So the yield goes this way, and these were the successful parameters. The plant height of a successful variety for dry land production looked like this. No? The first inflation point happened around day 27. I was expecting it to be a little bit later, but that's what the data show. The second one, I expected that one to be a little bit earlier. This one, I expected to be around day 60 or plus, in synchrony with first bloom, but the successful varieties like it to like a little bit earlier. And then the late parameters, it was about where I expected, around 70, 75 days after emergence. Other parameters that were significant was, of course, if these are, I'd like to make a point here that all of these are negative correlations, meaning that earliness. The earlier this event happens, the more successful the variety, and conversely, the later that it happened, the lower the yield. Okay, that was interesting, the program selected early vegetated growth. In the reproductive part, which would be to the right out here, we had this one was a positive correlation. The longer the duration of this phase out here, the higher the yield. And then Relative growth rate is this curve out here. It likes to have it very slow. You know, in other words, long and a slow decay in growth rate, in plant height growth rate. And then, of course, if all of that is significant, the area at the right here was significant. You know, kind of showing that for plant height, for this environment, dry land, an early vegetative growth, not too much aggressive growth, and then the varieties trying to take maximum advantage of the reproductive period. Canopy cover is very interesting to me because it's an important component of the mass and energy balance. Very similar. That was significant. This is canopy cover now, percentage of canopy. And, you know, we would like to have the canopy close at around 60 to 70 days after emergence. So these events are earlier. You can see the maximum happened around the linear phase around day 35. This is also a little bit earlier than I expected, but that's what the data show. And then that number, the peak was around day 52. I would expect it to be around bloom time. But anyway, also negative inverse relations, indicating that earliness favor these early maturing varieties. Relative growth rate was also significant. Again, showing that a slower decay in canopy senescence favor yield and the area of that curve. It was significant. So, what is the use? What can these data be used for? Well, firsthand, as a physiologist, you know, to design varieties, ideotypes. You know, breeders might look at selecting varieties, you know, with these characteristics for different areas. As a crop manager, you know, I think pitch management, being a little more aggressive in early season, you know, might help reducing that vegetative growth and not so aggressive in the later season, letting it take advantage of that longer. So management and breeding. But where are we going with all of this? We would like to have an expert system, you know, to do this job. And this is one of the schemes that we got for developing that expert system. 12 minutes, okay. These are the data input. A lot of magic out here that goes on in this expert system. For me, the important thing is that it spills out a yield estimate for each variety. Some of the early results is that for the irrigated plots, you know, a very tight relationship with an R square of about 88. About the same thing, a little lower here for the irrigated. And interesting, when we combine the two, you know, it was around the low 90s. To me, this is sufficient, perfect. We're ready to go. The computer people think that we can do a little better, so they're still working on it, but I think that we're ready to go, and 17 and 18 are years where we're going to be testing this model. But this is the final goal, you know, to have a large database, a machine learning system, a computer program that will generate for the breeder or for the agronomist a table like this, you know, showing which ones are the high yieldings and which ones are the low yielding, so they can do whatever they want with their study. Thank you very much for your attention. I think we, throughout these Bell White meetings, we're going to have another 5 or 6 papers presented on this topic. I mean, in development of this system, you know, but this is where we're moving toward and developing this system out here that researchers and breeders can use. Thank you.
We have time for one question, if anyone
has. Yes, sir. No, these are their best of the 4 breeders that we work with. You know, we ask them for about 5 or 6 varieties of their best, so their elite varieties, ready to go. And as far as the turnaround time, if what we're trying to do, if we standardize the data taking process, platform, and so on, sensors, And flying protocol, the turnaround could be a day. You know, you finish up your flight, which not, let's say take an hour maximum. You know, you download the data to a cloud. And then if the data is in a standard form with all the geo-referencing, you know, that we like to have, and just let the computer execute the data, Jinha, will a day or 2 days be reasonable? Okay, you know, yes. And I think it's happening already, you know, with some of our, you know, the data sets that we're working with. You know, that the following day, the scientist has the data ready to analyze. Thank you very much.